You're listening to the Reverse Stick, the Global Hockey Podcast. And recently, during our World Cup daily programs, we had secured the services of Taya McLeod to get some interviews for us. And while he was in our servitude, we managed to get him, tow him along to the Hockey Museum's hockey display.
Yeah, well, by the suggestion of Kirsty Hull, hashtag TRS World 11, she said her
which was a brilliant suggestion.
Her friend was down there involved, and yeah, Teo had a chance to catch up with Shane, didn't he?
He did. Shane Smith, who is the assistant curator of the Hockey Museum, he's the full-time member of staff, and I think Mike Smith's the
his right-hand man.
Yeah, he's the head honcho down there, and they get on. And they've produced a wonderful. Well, it's a great legacy for the game. The Hockey Museum is going to be a fantastic institution for many years to come. It's exactly what our sport needs. But
it is. But you can jump online, go to hockeymuseum.net and find out all about them. Once you've been inspired, hearing from Shane.
What can we see at the museum?
Oh, crikey. Everything to do with the history of hockey is the easy answer.
I see some lovely old antique sticks here.
Yes, so they're custom made. We're sat in the shop at the Hockey Museum stand in Fan Central at the moment. And we've got some English head sticks that were custom made in India. Handmade wooden ones, lovely bits of kit those. So we've got sticks like that at the museum, going across the whole development of the stick from the English head stick through to the half Indian head. And then the Indian head stick that we use today. Obviously back with the England head stick. Larger head, you can't Indian dribble with that. You have to move your feet around it when you're dribbling, so it made for a very different game. Probably a little bit slower than it is today with the being able to roll your wrist over the ball quickly now. Development of AstroTurf in the museum here or so we've basically divided the exhibition here up into six sections. We've got a section on women's suffrage and hockey and the links between that. It's 100 years since women got the right to vote in the UK. So we're celebrating a little bit of that and tying that into hockey. Hockey playing women in the early part of the 20th century, generally like kind of upper middle class background, so the same sort of demographic as suffragists and suffragettes would have been. So we're looking to explore any of those connections there. And then we've got a section on the competing teams that are in this Vitality Hockey World Cup and drawing out either particular important players from the past or heritage stories to do with those nations. And then we've got some stamps and pin badges from those nations as well and some flags just to tie that kind of international flavour in. We've then got a section which we're calling Inspire, which is about goalkeeping equipment. So we've got a traditional kind of object display with showing how goalkeeping equipment has evolved over the years. There's also a little bit about a young lady that we found on social media, a little girl called Olivia, who's 12 years old. She was inspired by Maddie Hinch to watching Maddie Hinch play hockey for England GB on the telly, so she decided she was going to make her own DIY goalkeeping kit, which you can see in the photos over here. And so she got herself some cushions and some pads and as pads and stuffed a pillow up her top and put on a skiing helmet or something that she found in the garage. And so yeah, it's incredibly cute pictures. She's coming down actually next week one of the games, so I'm sure she'll be delighted to see that she features in our exhibition. At the moment only her mum knows. And then we've got a jigsaw as well, which the kids can put together, and it teaches you about the history of each bit of goalkeeping kit as well. So on the reverse, so you build the jigsaw of the goalkeeper up and you can discover how goalkeeping equipment used to be in the past, shall we say. Then we got an evolution section, which is about the two previous women's world tournaments that have been held in the UK. So that's Folkestone in Kent in 1953 and Edinburgh, Scotland in 1975. And so that compares and contrasts those events with the 2018 event that we're at today. So you can see how hockey's evolved through that. So that's things like financial figures about sponsorship and ticket sales and crowd sizes, average ages of players, that kind of thing. And of course the kit and equipment that they were using at the time as well and how that's evolved too. And we've been lucky to get some video footage as well. So we've got footage from the 53 tournament that we and the 75 tournament as well, and then some promo material for this one to compare and contrast there. The 53 stuff is actually really interesting because we've just completed this year a digitisation project funded by Heritage Lottery Fund to basically digitise all of the cine film that we've got in our collection, because we had all this beautiful old film but we had absolutely no idea what any of it was and what was on it. So in digitising it, we've been able to unlock that, and lo and behold, it contained lots of footage from the 53 tournament in Folkestone, so we've been able to show that here for the first time.
Oh, wow.
Which is pretty exciting as well.
How's that compared to the games out there today?
Well, it seems that certainly, I guess a more informal, I wouldn't say it's any less professional, but it's certainly more informal. There's a lot more camaraderie on and off the pitch. Back in like the 50s, for example, the game of hockey, it wasn't professional, there wasn't really a league system, so it was all played for the love of the game and for taking part, if you like. So there wasn't a winner in the 53 tournament, for example. So not every team even played each other. They would play against randomly drawn teams from the conference. So it was an international federation conference with a tournament tagged on the side of it, basically. So they just played for fun. It was a festival almost. Yeah. So they basically, the international nations, the governing bodies of the individual nations, would come and have a conference, a meeting, and then there would be some games tagged on to the end of that. And so that's what it evolved from, if you like.
It sounds all very quaint and rather English, doesn't it?
Yeah, I suppose so.
Scones and tea and 11s.
Yeah, there was definitely, they do like things like day trips out and things like that as well. So like with all the different nations going together. So you hear lots of stories from players that played in these tournaments and the international tournaments in the past about how they've built these friendships as well that have lasted them all through the years, and that's pretty fantastic, to be honest.
I'm back here with Shane Smith, the assistant curator of the Hockey Museum here in Fan Central in Stratford.
I was just going to elaborate on a couple of things. I spoke earlier about one of the sections was about comparing the different nations and historical stories from the different nations that are competing in this tournament. And one of them is about the Indian team. We put feelers out to different nations before the tournament, asked them for heritage stories about players, that kind of thing. The Indian people came back and they put together a photography exhibition celebrating 50 years of Indian women's hockey. It's called 5 Decades, 50 Pictures, and they had the opening last Saturday, and it features a lovely picture of the first Indian women's captain, and we were lucky enough to have her grace us with her presence, and she came down and opened this little photography exhibition within the main exhibition here on Saturday. So it was a real honour for us to have her come here, and there was lots of speeches. It was great. Really enjoyable afternoon that was, and we were honoured to have her. The other area of the exhibition that I want to elaborate on is the final area of the six. It's about the Hockey Museum and basically our journey to get to where we are today. So this year we've been accredited by the Arts Council England, which is the gold standard for UK museums. It doesn't show that we're necessarily doing everything right, but we recognise where we're going and what we want to achieve, and we're on the right path, and we're putting all the right kind of policies and procedures in place for collections care and exhibitions and that kind of thing, and governance. So that's a massive step for us, real big step in the right direction for where we want to go with the museum in terms of our professionalism. We're touching on some other stories within the success section as well. So we're talking about the Heritage Lottery Fund grants that we've successfully completed over the last couple of years. I mentioned the cine film one earlier, but we've also done one on oral histories. So that's going out and capturing the memories of people that have been involved with hockey, whether it's playing or administration or umpiring or officiating, that kind of thing. These people's memories, obviously people pass away, unfortunately, sadly, all the time. So it's trying to get those memories before they're lost to us, and so that we've got a record for posterity, really, for future researchers, to show how the game used to be and how it got to where it is, which is kind of a nice parallel with this little bit of the exhibition that's talking about where the hockey museum's come from and where it's going as well. What else have we got in there? It talks about how we've just moved into new premises in Woking in Surrey, right in the town centre, and we've got an exhibition hall for the first time. So we opened our first exhibition last month, and then, or 2 months ago, and then straight away started designing this one here in Fan Central. So it's been a lot of work, but great fun. And it's fascinating to be able to bring that kind of all that hockey history to life, which previously, because we didn't have the space, was just in boxes in the storeroom, really. So yeah, we can really bring it to life, unlock those stories, and really share that heritage with people, which is really, really exciting.
How did you get involved in the hockey museum?
So I've got a master's degree in art gallery and museum studies, but it took me a little while to get into the sector. I was running the bar at my local hockey club, which was evening work.
I bet you're the most popular person in your hockey club.
It's easy to make friends when you're serving people alcohol, that's for sure. So I had free time during the day, and the president of my club, Lynn Morgan, she was volunteering at the museum, and she told me about it, and I thought, you know what, that's something I'd like to get involved with. So I started volunteering there as well, and I volunteered for 2 years, and then they made a job for me. And it's gone from there. I've been there 2 years now. 2 years as a 4 years in total, 2 years as a volunteer, 2 years as a member of paid staff. I've always obviously wanted to work in museums and galleries, or I wouldn't have studied what I did. But to be able to be part of a team that builds a museum from scratch, and something that I play hockey as well, so it's a real passion project in that sense as well. So it's great to be able to build that from scratch and deliver something, and you know, see it evolve and be a big part of that. So yeah, that's fantastic.
Thank you.
You're with the Reverse Stick, the Global Hockey Podcast, and that is Shane Smith, the Assistant Curator at the Hockey Museum, talking with Theo McLeod.